podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Everybody watching it must have just thought, hit it. It was one of them where it wouldn't have mattered if it was Stefan Freund or Didier Zakora for Tottenham. It still would have been, hit it.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Euro 2020 at the moment. My name's Serge.
My name is James.
Waking up today, honestly, compared to last Friday, it doesn't feel like an England day to me, but waking up today thinking, oh, England plays, right? The sun is shining, James.
Well, we were shit in the rain, so maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It just feels weird, like after 5, 6, 7 days of pissing down rain that we've had, that it's glorious. I don't know what it's like in London because I'm up in the Midlands in and around Coventry, but up here it's glorious, mate. I feel like it's an environment. I think England are going to win today because this way the sun is out. I feel like England are going to win today.
Right, okay. The reason it doesn't feel like an England game tonight is because you don't have that nervous energy. You're not about to play the rival. Your qualification is not at stake. Denmark managed to put through 25% of the tournament through to the last 16 last night. So, I mean, there's no jeopardy, right? You know that even if we get beat tonight, we're definitely through. Every single team that gets to 4 points will qualify for the last 16. There is no circumstance where Scotland win tonight and don't qualify. There's no circumstance where Poland beat Sweden in Group E and don't qualify. Anybody who hits 4 points, 100% will now qualify for the last 16. So that's why you don't feel like there's an England game tonight. I'm still going to the fucking pub, mind.
Oh, of course. And yeah, thank you to Denmark yesterday. I mean, to be fair, we were all cheering them on, weren't we?
I gotta be honest with you. I mean, I did watch the Denmark game rather than the Belgium game last night. I mean, willing them to win for themselves. I wasn't thinking, oh, this is going to put England through. I was never concerned about it from that perspective.
I just wanted them to go through, you know, just because of everything they've been through in the last
10 games. That was absolutely brilliant last night. Their second half performance, it was up there with one of the highlights of the tournament so far for me. They were absolutely brilliant and ruthless.
The irony of Mailer scoring, and he was in your pre-wildcard team. The irony of Denea playing and getting clean sheet, being in your pre-wildcard team. Vermaelen being in your wildcard team and actually it being an own goal and so on and so on. None of that was lost on me as I was watching the games and seeing it all come in. Let's talk a little bit fantasy. You happy with the first couple of days of wildcard?
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty good, really. I'm on 59 points. And if I'd had decent captaincy return, then I'd be in a very, very strong position. So I'm about 5K
from
overall,
how many?
I think. From how many? So yeah, I'm 5.5K so far. I will tell you, I've got Moreno, Simon, Gnabry, Gosens, Havertz still to go. So I'm likely to remove... Oh, and Perisic, sorry. So I've got 6 to go. I'm likely to remove Belotti, Dumfries, 1-pointer. And if Perisic blanks tonight, if not, I'll take De Bruyne out as 3-pointer and go for it. So you could say I'm on... Worst case,
De Bruyne six points.
Oh no, you're right. I won't remove Kevin De Bruyne, will I?
No.
I'd have a choice to make actually. If Perisic returns tonight, I'm going to have a difficult choice to make. I think I'll probably. Yeah. I don't know. I hadn't considered that. I hadn't considered what I'm going to do because I mean that's the point. I've only got 2 blankers. So you say, oh yeah, Melee obviously is in my game week 1 team. Yeah, I've still got him now as well. And yeah, Denier was in my game week 1 team. Yeah, 6-pointer. I got a 9-pointer off Vermaelen last night, quite fortuitously. And the rest of my game week 1 team, mate, nothing. Diddly. Okay. Just Lukaku's goal. That's it. Diddly. So
that's the name by the way, that's the name of our new podcast, James. 2 Blankers.
2 Blankers.
Yeah, I've only got 2 blankers.
I really don't. That's a really good point. I'd not considered that. So I've only got Dumfries and Belotti have blanked me. I've got Marlon, Wijnaldum, De Bruyne, Vermaelen, Mahaley, Toloi, Buscan, a 3-pointer I'll remove for Simon, the Spanish keeper. But yeah, if Perisic returns tonight, I think I'll take Marlon out.
That's a good...
I'll take his 5-pointers out and I'll go for it.
That's a good dilemma to have. I'm on 57 at the moment, and I've got two blankers as well. In Birani didn't play, obviously, and Frankie de Jong only got me a three-pointer. But other than that, I've had returns from Toloi and Donnarumma from the Italian game. Demeyer gave me a clean sheet yesterday. De Bruyne, Lukaku, again, all of these guys all got six-pointers for me, which is perfectly fine. And then Memphis Depay cleaned up as captain yesterday, so I've got 24 points off him.
What are you up?
Still got John Stones to go, Mason Mount to go, Thomas Suchek to go, Morata and Pau Torres. Considering I didn't play my wild card, I'm taking that 57 all day long at the moment. And
yeah,
I'm up to 27K now, considering after game week one, it's 300. I'm quite happy with that. This is the same as last game week, though, where started so well, and I can just see the second half being twos and threes potentially. And I may still miss a couple of players as well. So if you'd offered me like 65 before the match week, I'd have taken that all day long. So, and that's probably where I end up, if not better. So yeah, I'm quite happy with that.
I think it's been justified that for both of us individually, it's easy to say, oh, the wild card was a bad idea. Wild card was definitely the best thing for me, and it definitely wasn't for you. So I feel like we've been justified in the decisions we made individually.
Yeah. And if you're looking at, I mean, yesterday, I mean, I had De Bruyne and Lukaku. If the first Lukaku goal hadn't been ruled out for offside because of, and that's...
He's size 14 boots, mate. Should have worn smaller boots.
Yeah, exactly. It could have been even bigger. So, you know, it's good. Should we talk about these games that took place yesterday? Starting with, obviously, we had North Macedonia versus the Netherlands. Comfortable routine. What else did we expect?
It was in the end, and I must confess, I didn't watch either of the two 5 p.m. games in great detail. I was flicking between the two, basically. Macedonia had chances at 0-0, right? The goal disallowed, hit the post as well. They're open. And I think on reflection, I should have captained Ronaldo. It's easy to say in hindsight. But I think I had preset in my mind, oh, I'm going De Bruyne. And actually,
well, you knew he was going to play, but you saw the team.
But I think I should have seen the Holland team and gone, yeah, they're strong. North Macedonia, with best respect to them, are very weak. Let's go for this here. This is a real opportunity. And not having the knowledge of how strong the Belgium team was or wasn't going to be, I should have switched. Easy to say in hindsight, obviously. I mean, if De Bruyne's first assist for Lukaku counts, I'm sitting there with a 9-pointer and going, yeah, well, I'm sticking captaincy from there. And also, obviously, it was his corner for Vermaelen's header, right? So he very easily could have been three assists for Kevin De Bruyne. And it's ended up just being the pony 6-pointer in the end, which I'm not complaining about, the 6-pointer. But yeah, once Holland broke, ruthless. Ruthless. Marlon gives them a very different option to Weghorst because he gives a second runner in comparison to Weghorst.
He's got a lot of goals for Eindhoven this season. It's Eindhoven he plays that. He's got a lot of goals this season, isn't it?
Oh, you're testing me now, mate. I'm not sure, actually.
I remember in the previous game when he came on, the commentators were saying, I think he was over 25 goals he scored last season. So good player, decent striker. I'm sure there'll be plenty of eyes on him now.
He looks a talent, no doubt about that. I mean, he's 22 years of age, and yes, you are right, PSV Eindhoven. Can play out wide as well, not just necessarily centrally. I think going into the knockout stage, he might be more of an option for them than Weghorst, where they're possibly going to dominate the ball a little bit less and look to counter on teams a bit more. And that kind of two-pronged threat of Depay's pace and Marlon's pace might be something they decide to utilise more in the knockout stage. Holland have breezed through this. I thought it was the weakest group pre-tournament, and I don't necessarily think that's been proven to be incorrect. I think we would have expected them to get minimum 7 points, and they've got issues. Defensively, they're not right. And I keep saying it after every game I've watched them. They're not right defensively. And actually, whoever they play, they could end up playing Switzerland, for example, in the knockout stages. I don't think that's nailed on that the Dutch would go through. But the way the draw's going to pan out for them, they're going to play a third-place team, which, if it ends up being, say, Portugal, for example, they're not going to be favourites. But anybody else, they are. And then it's Wales or Denmark in the quarterfinals, they would be favourites again. So suddenly they'd be in a position going really straightforward group, looking at, not a straightforward path, but favourites to reach the semi-final all of a sudden. for fantasy, that will make it really interesting. Because I think the likes of Dumfries, if Marlon's going to stay in the team, obviously Depay, yep. Wijnaldum is great value in this Dutch team. I mean, I said to you pre-tournament, get the how he plays for Liverpool out of your head. It's complete. It's completely different. But they could slip up, I think. Like I could visualize them playing someone like Switzerland and potentially getting beat, actually, because defensively it's the opposite. They'll let Holland have quite a lot of the ball, I would have thought. And you saw how well Switzerland countered. I mean, that third goal against Turkey is a perfect example of actually they can cause some damage themselves on the break. But I think you'd have to go with their option. Stekelenburg in goal, 4.5. You're looking for two goalkeepers for the knockout stage. It's 4.7 actually now, Stekelenburg.
Again, and we mentioned it in yesterday's pod, it depends on the days of the fixtures a little bit to make sure that if I go with a Dutch player and it doesn't work out, then I can always bring someone else in later in the match week. So it's interesting. I think with me with the second wild card as well, I don't mind taking a couple of punts here or there. So we'll see how that plays out. The Ukraine-Austria game, the game that who wanted to win or lose or draw or who wanted what? No idea. What did you make of that?
Holland is Sunday, by the way.
Right.
So you've got games Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So they're in the first half of the week. Should they go through to the quarterfinals? I think they go... No, they're on day two. Day two. They'll play on Saturday the 3rd. If Ukraine end up getting through and end up playing the winners of Group E, and that happens to not be Spain, Ukraine are going to look like absolute fucking geniuses here, I think.
Yep.
Austria decided they wanted to win the game. And I think, quite honestly, having Arnautovic at the top of the pitch was a major difference for them, to give them the confidence to believe with Arnautovic up front and Marcel Sabitzer behind, who is a very offensive midfield player, that actually they could cause some teams some damage. Ukraine's another team who they're quite pretty on the eye, but they set up very defensive last night. But defensively, they got issues. And I cannot foresee any way that if they come up against a good side who's got a good offence, that they'll get through. Austria gave them major problems with direct balls. That it go right at the heart of the centre backs, and they couldn't deal with it. And Arnautovic should have hauled last night. I mean, he's missed I wouldn't say sitters, but he's missed a couple of chances where I think if his sharpness was of a higher standard, we know he's come back from injury, then he would have punished them and got returns. Ukraine would disappoint. Austria were deserving winners, actually, particularly on the way they started the game in the first half. Ukraine looked like a team who didn't want to play Italy, and I can't blame them. Rob Pick responded to a tweet of mine saying, I said Ukraine don't want to play Italy. And Rob Pick said Ukraine have decided they'd rather go out than get beat by Italy, basically.
I think with Arnautovic, it's the confidence that you said. The rest of the team, when you know you've got your big man up top, your star guy, it breeds confidence in the rest of the team. And maybe that's helped them raise their game there. And can't knock two wins in the group stages for them. So, yeah, they've done okay.
They have. I think it's the first time they've made the knockout stages of a European Championship as well. So, I mean, they were really celebrating at the end. And I guess so they should. For them to get to the last 16, I guess particularly after the disappointment of 5 years ago, I guess they'll be quite happy with that. I mean, do I give them much hope of beating Italy? No. And I think from that perspective, for whether you're wildcarding in the quarterfinals or whether you're not, you're going to have Italy players. There's zero doubt about that. Obviously, Italy likely to meet Belgium in the quarterfinals, which would be a brilliant matchup. I'm sure there will be a shock in the last 16 somewhere. I don't think it will be Austria beating Italy at Wembley. I can't see that for the life of me.
And the evening games, we'll start with Finland-Belgium in Russia.
I watched Denmark, so I didn't watch a lot of this. But
I caught the second half of this. Belgium were in control. I think the thing with Belgium now, I mean, defensively, they still have problems as well, like some of the other teams. But going forward, I mean, Lukaku is in absolute beast mode at the moment. He's really dominating centre-backs, he's really improved as a player from his Everton days and even United. I think he's really gotten a lot better at using his body and strength and also getting his shots off quickly. He's really good. I think with Lukaku up top, Belgium got a chance in any game. And Kevin De Bruyne has shown again how he just dominates games and how he can just really turn it on in terms of just finding through balls, dictating the pace of the game. Absolute class is Kevin De Bruyne. Absolute class.
With the attacking players they've got a chance in any game. I mean, you're talking about De Bruyne, Hazard, Lukaku, just them three are capable of winning any football match against anybody. So, you know, even though I don't fancy them to go on and win the tournament, they're absolutely capable because of those attacking players. De Bruyne played in a little bit of a deeper role last night, although because of the opposition was obviously allowed to advance. That's worth remembering. Obviously, Yuri Tielemans will probably come back into play with Axel Witsel, and De Bruyne's likely to play as one of the two behind Lukaku. Although, don't be surprised if, a little bit like we saw in the Denmark game, if Lukaku pulls to the right-hand side and De Bruyne picks up a more central kind of floating position, similar to what he does in big games for Manchester City. Nasser Chadli and Leandro Trossard at wing-backs. I mean, if ever you wanted a sign that, yeah, we're okay with this game and the opposition, this was it. I can't tell you how well they did because, honestly, I was way too intrigued with what was happening with the Denmark game. You have to give mass praise to the Denmark fans in Copenhagen who notified me on two occasions to change the channel and sure enough changed the channel and saw Belgian players hugging and celebrating. I mean, the atmosphere in Copenhagen looked top level last night. It looked like a throwback to an English stadium because it is quite an English stadium feel, I think, the Parken in Copenhagen. Felt like a cup quarter final feel, like really proper atmosphere last night. That dramatic moment when the first time, and I didn't wait for the commentators to say, oh, there's a noise going around the ground. I heard the noise while the game was going on. I went, Belgium have scored. Changed the channel. And obviously they're celebrating. And all this about, oh, VAR's been quick. I warned you about this. That was so slow last night on that goal.
Yeah.
Showed about six replays. And then it was like, oh, VAR check. And I told you, it's psychologically making you think that decision's quick because they're taking so long to actually say, oh, there's a check going on here. And really unfortunate that one was called out. So obviously I'm thinking, oh, fucking hell. Imagine what the reaction now is in Copenhagen. Turned it back over. Russia have got a penalty. Was such a dramatic minute or so where suddenly they'd gone from looking like absolute shoo-ins to being out and possibly back in jeopardy in their own game again. They were absolutely brilliant, Denmark. Pleasure to watch last night. Their ruthlessness in that second half, the way they attacked Russia, they had an XG of over two in the second half alone, 9 shots on target in the second half. Although 4 of them came in the space of about 60 seconds before Christensen smashed in the third. And if you didn't feel a little tingle when that goal went in, you're either Russian or Welsh. And you're Welsh because you don't really want to play Denmark. You'd rather play Russia or Finland, which is understandable. Yeah, because I think the majority of the neutrals amongst us were so happy that after everything, the fans and the players and the management team and everybody associated with them had been through with what happened to Christian Eriksen. So delighted that even if they go out in the last 16, they had a happy moment.
Correct.
That they can now remember and take. And obviously in their own city as well. They were brilliant.
It's not just the 3 of the goals were fantastic strikes. The second goal was obviously absolute comedy back pass and put on a plate.
It's fucking hilarious.
But the other three goals were all phenomenally good strikes. I mean, Christensen, I didn't know he had it in him, to be honest with you, but he hit that ball so sweetly.
If you haven't seen it, basically Christensen had a header from the corner, which was saved. It went out from a throw-in. It came back into the box. The keeper made a save, I think, from Braithwaite. Then there was another one that he blocked and it came out to the edge of the area. And everybody watching it must have just thought, hit it. It was one of them where it wouldn't have mattered if it was Stefan Freund or Didier Zakora for Tottenham. It still would have been, hit it. And he hit it and he hit it true. And keepers, I mean, the keeper was in goal for Russia, Safonov, 4.0. Listen, Rashford going out has done you a favour, so you don't pick him, because I don't think he's any better than the guy he replaced from match day one, actually. No. Dodgy as. His fall for Poulsen's goal, obviously it was a horrendous back pass, but Safonov's kind of stumble belly flop to try and stop it added to the comedy of Rashford's performance. Before they got the penalty, Kurdishov, the left-sided centre-back, should have been sent off for an absolute certain second bookable offence, got away with it, and then Rashford got the penalty at the other end. And that would have been very controversial had Denmark not gone on to win the game. Our friend Mahaly scored the fourth goal. I'll learn how to say his name once. The composure when he got there. And can I just say as well, there's a player who's playing for Denmark who I watched last night, and I'd love Tottenham to sign him.
Højbjerg.
Can we sign him? What's a good player?
The
difference of him playing in a team that's allowed to press and plays with high energy, and Thomas Delaney kind of does the protecting for him a little bit. They take turns to go and stuff, play more like an orthodox two in midfield. He looks like a really good player last night. Højbjerg even ended up with two assists. And the Danish player that's going to be really, really interesting from a fantasy perspective in the last 16 is Mikael Damsgaard, who scored the first goal, even kind of had an eerie kind of Christian Eriksen type finish about it. Essentially, they've changed systems since the first game. They're playing with a back three, which I think really suits them, because the two wing backs want to get really high, particularly Mahaly on the left-hand side. Daniel Vass also does it on the right-hand side. Kjær looked really shaky in the first half against Finland in a four, having Christensen and Vestergaard either side, who are decent distributors of the ball as well, seems to be helping and protecting him a little bit. They could suddenly come from a position where they're out, and I think they could hit the semi-finals.
Yeah.
I really think that's a possibility. Them Wales on Saturday should be a cracking game.
Yeah, Damsgaard, I was listening to Five Live commentary when he scored the goal. Obviously, he's playing at Sampdoria right now. And then straight away, the commentators, there's been a lot of interest from Tottenham, Southampton and West Ham. Sampdoria pre-tournament had a valuation on him of £15 million. I reckon that's gone up by at least 10 to 15 million pounds.
He's only 20 as well. So
yeah, exactly. So yeah, he looks a real talent, that young kid.
You can double that, mate.
Yeah,
there's quite a few after that last night, I think, would have gone and asked questions. We'll be asking questions quite quickly. Mm. And with respect to the three teams you mentioned, probably, some more powerful clubs are going to go and ask some questions.
It's
a very good player. There was some comedy moments. I mean, even Poulsen, who scored Denmark's second goal, who obviously couldn't miss, he ended up in the position because he was shattered. And he was about to be taken. He got taken off straight afterwards. He was dead in the game. He put so much work ethic into it. I find these really enjoyable to watch. Even in the first half performance against Belgium, they went for it. They ran out of energy a little bit. And obviously, Belgium had the quality. And it'll be interesting to see how Denmark react, not playing in Copenhagen in the knockout stage. Do they still go with the same intensity? I think they probably have to, because they've got high energy footballers. Wales are probably not going to open up to have a high energy game, and are probably thinking, yeah, come, we'll have you on the counter with Bale, Ramsey, Daniel James, etc. So it'll be a really fascinating tactical and physical game now on Saturday. Really looking forward to that, actually.
Indeed. Let's look at some predictions for the games today. You've got the fixtures up in front of you. I don't have them in front of me, James. But
there's only two, sweetheart.
Oh, sorry. I was curious about that. Why are they... splitting the way they've split them, but it's all good. And also, we'll have a quick before we do the predictions, because we'll end the predictions. What COVID rules? What I don't know. What
I don't know. And at the time of recording, we don't know factually or not if Mason Mount or Ben Chilwell are ruled out of the England game this evening. I presume,
but I just don't know. Like, other players have been in close contact, they've trained together, but what you're saying. All right, mate, at the end of the game means you have to isolate, whereas John McGinn hugging him and all the rest of it is all good if he's tested negative. Maybe there's something I'm missing in the rules, but I just don't understand the rules, mate, of what does and doesn't constitute.
Well, that's why England are trying to get it pulled around. But apparently the images we've all seen on the TV, which was quite well documented at the time, of obviously Mount and Chilwell going to talk to their club mate, Billy Gilmore, after the game, apparently this kind of went on into the tunnel and there was more embracing going on down there and stuff, sort of off cameras. And that's what's caused an even bigger problem, apparently. So I don't know if they're standing there having a snog for all I know, mate. Maybe that would be a serious issue. Gilmore's absence for Scotland is horrendous. Horrendous. I'd actually go from the point where I genuinely would have thought yesterday they've got as much chance of winning this as Croatia. I don't feel that way with him absent. I think that's a monstrous blow. It's so, for him, it's devastating. For Scotland, it's so unlucky. This kid is so suited to international and European competition football. So suited. And I think that's going to be a blow for them tonight.
Yeah, I didn't see Scotland scoring more than one goal tonight. And so defensively, they would have needed to keep a clean sheet. And Gilmore dominating the midfield would have been a big part of that. I think I'm erring towards a Croatia 2-0 now. Whereas with Billy Gilmore, I might have gone 1-0 Scotland with a little bit of impetus. So I think Croatia 2-0 now today.
I'm going to go for a draw, 1-1 or 2-2, and Ukraine to suddenly find themselves playing Sweden in the last 16 by some sort of fluke. I'm going to go for a draw. I think England will win tonight. I'll go for just attempt fate. I'll go for the same prediction as Scotland. I'll go for 3-1 again. I think, as I said, Maguire and Henderson should play. I've not had a kind of team leak or anything kind of mentioned by the ITKs. I guess a lot of that's waiting on Mason Mount news. The sensible thing probably is just leave him out the team tonight, I would have thought. Grealish for me.
No, he's in my fantasy team, mate. Play him.
Grealish, fuck him. Grealish has got to play. And I think the majority of us want to see Jadon Sancho play as well and really try and stake a claim to start in the last 16.
And in all seriousness, I agree with you about Mount. At the end of the day, we don't need him tonight. We've got perfectly deep squad to be able to get through the game without him. I wouldn't play him, but I think a 3-0 win for England today quite comfortably. I just don't. It's not going to be one of those dazzling performances, but efficient and organised, and we'll get the job done comfortably. 3-0. That's what I'm thinking is going to happen today. And then we'll all be running and celebrating and thinking England are going to win it tomorrow. Right?
We will dissect on podcast tomorrow, Suj.
Indeed. Let's see.
Before we finish, a couple of announcements, if I may. Because I meant to do this yesterday and I completely forgot. We have two new correspondents for FPL. Yeah, that game, 21-22, to announce to you. So big thanks to Adam Hotcroft, our Aston Villa correspondent, Ali Mitchell, FPL gaffer, our Southampton correspondent. They're stepping down from their positions this year due to work commitments. They've been brilliant members of the team. And for myself personally, an absolute pleasure to get to know over the last couple of years. I'm sure Suj, you'll concur with that.
100%.
But we've got two patrons who are now going to become correspondents. Firstly, let me introduce you our new Aston Villa correspondent, Lee Jackson. You can follow Lee on Twitter at, I will tell you, Lee_Jackson_92. This man used to be in a band. I don't know if he wants me to tell you that, but he used to be in a band. He's been on stage supporting McFly. What a guy. A big Villa fan, knows his onions, goes to a lot of games. Brilliant lad, Lee. And our new Southampton correspondent will be Matt at Clean Sheet Wipeout, one of the guys will remember from the Champ Man streams last year with much fondness. Matt obviously has his own pod going on as well with the season keepers. Shit, he is a season keepers, isn't he, Matt?
Yeah,
and they're obviously going to be coming on during takeover week. You'll get to know those guys as well. Matt will obviously be joining us, as will Lee, during correspondent week to get the lowdown on Villa and Southampton ahead of the new season.
Perfect, James, and welcome on board, guys. Thanks again to Adam and Ali. Had the pleasure of having a couple of pints with both of those guys, and an absolute gent. So I really appreciate what they were able to do for us in the past. That's about it, James. Everybody stay safe. Social distance as you're watching the England game.
There's one more thing.
Oh, there's more announcements, mate.
Yeah, got FPL. When's the game opening?
I don't care. It's not that I don't know. I don't care.
I also don't care, but I expect to be hitting an auto-complete button today.
Okay, ITK James.
What?
Is
no, I'm not ITK. I just, what else is there to wait for? We've got the prices of 70% of the players. Just open the game. I think today, now, we thought, when we looked at the schedule a few weeks ago, we always thought the Thursday, Friday between the group stage and the last 16. I think today now as well, with no 5 o'clock games,
might be a good chance to do it.
I wouldn't be surprised if by the time this podcast is out that the game's open. I wouldn't be surprised.
Nice. So get your teams in so you get a low number on your team ID, because it doesn't really matter.
No. You never know. It could get you up 10 places or so at the end of the season if you finish level with someone.
Yeah. So as I was saying, again, tonight, social distance as you're drinking your pints and watching England. Stay safe wherever you are. Chat for now.
Thanks, everyone. Be nice to each other. Come on, England. Cue music, please, Manchild.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.